Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. 40 years of wandering, of fighting against enemies, and of learning to live by depending on God are near an end. God's people Israel are about to enter the land that He had promised to their fathers. By this time, Jehovah God had prepared the people and everything that they would need to go in and possess this land. But it is here, at this critical juncture, that He comes to them to remind them not of their need, but of His need. From His people, God requires something that He will not provide for Himself. Food. Hard to imagine, isn't it, that God needs to be fed and that He can only be fed by His people. Quite a story we have before us, Bob. Bob Danker has joined us for another Life Study. Welcome back.
It's good to be back, Chris, and you're right. It is quite a story we have here in Numbers chapter 28 concerning God's need to be fed by His people.
One thing that our listeners have surely come to realize by now, and that is that the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is a book of types and pictures. In the last few chapters, we've seen a lot, Bob. Following perhaps the greatest failure of the people that involved fornication and idolatry, the Lord came in and purified them, and now we have seen them renewed, I would say, in several ways. Maybe you could review some of these areas where this renewing had gone on.
Well, as you mentioned, Chris, God brought a corporate people out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, and His intention was to bring them into the good land. And in the beginning of this book, in the wilderness of Sinai, God numbered the people to form them into a fighting army. So in the beginning of the book of Numbers, there was a people of God that God had saved out of Egypt. There was an army, there was a leader, Moses, and there was a way for God to govern His people through His direct speaking to Moses. But as we read through the book of Numbers, we see that these people that God brought out of Egypt to accomplish His purpose failed Him in many ways. They were ambitious. They were rebellious. They lusted after the worldly enjoyments. They didn't believe God that He would bring them into the land. And then they fell into idolatry. So these people were not qualified to fulfill God's purpose. So God needed a new beginning, and He needed to renew His people. So He purified them by purging them, and He caused the entire generation that He had brought out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. So here at the end of Numbers 27, what we have is a renewed Israel ready to possess the good land. God's people were renewed in that the first generation had passed away and there was a new generation. So the whole people were new. And then God renumbered them to reform them into an army. So they had a new army. And then Moses was not allowed to enter the land, as we know, but Joshua became the new leader of God's people. And then he was helped by the high priest with the Urim and the Thummim to be God's theocratic government over His people. So here in this situation, before they entered into the good land, the entire people of Israel were renewed, and God was able to have a new start and to have a new going on with His people to fulfill His purpose.
Renewing and newness, these are things that we see again and again in Scripture, aren't they, Bob, especially related to God's fulfillment of His purpose?
That's right, Chris. We need to be daily renewed.
Yes. Okay, we come now, after a marvelous summary, Bob, to a very interesting portion concerning the Lord's plea, I would say, with the people not to neglect the offerings. And we talked about it in the opening today. Listen to just the first two verses here in chapter 28. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel and say to them, My offering, my food for my offerings by fire, of a satisfying fragrance to me, you shall be careful to present to me at its appointed time. Amazing. God refers to his food in these verses, Bob.
It is amazing, Chris. We would never have the concept that God needs to eat and that he is hungry.
Well, we're going to have a lot of our concepts probably adjusted before we're through today. How about we join Witness Lee?
God told Moses to command the sons of Israel and to say to them, my food for my offerings by fire, my satisfying fragrance, you shall observe. You shall offer to me at its appointed time. To me, this word by Jehovah God is just like an old father coming to his children and telling them concerning his food. It seems God is coming to ask his people, Israel, not to forget his food. He wanted to eat something. Have you ever heard such a thing, that God wants to eat? God asks of his people about his food. My food. I have done a lot for you. I prepare your food, and I prepare your drink. Now, how about my food? Now, I'd like to make a deal with you, that you have to take care of my food. And my food is just the offerings you offer to me. And those offerings offered by you to me are just to me the satisfying fragrance. Would you keep in mind that in the whole universe, God is angry. He wants to eat. Don't you want to eat? When you are eating, would you remember that God wants also to eat? He prepared the food for you, and you have to prepare the food for him. You know, God even set up a table, set up a feast in the wilderness for us. Then how about him? We just forget about him, leaving him there without food. Here's the situation that God came in. Moses, before you go away from them, you have to give them a charge that I need them to observe, to offer to me my food.
Bob, of course, our eating has a couple of aspects to it. Number one, to sustain life. And that's really not what we're talking about today. But the other aspect is that all humans take a great deal of satisfaction and pleasure from eating. It's one of the more pleasurable aspects of human life, or at least it can be. And I think that's what the Lord is pointing to here. He has a desire to be pleased and satisfied as well, doesn't he?
He does, Chris. And perhaps we would not think this is something related to God, that God has a need, God has a desire. He likes to eat for satisfaction, for pleasure, just as we do. He made us in his image.
Right.
So we are like him. And of course, he is like us. He is our source. But this point is very touching to me because here God, like an old father, is reminding his children to take care of his need. God has done so much for his people. He has prepared everything for our enjoyment. He was about to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, such a good land. And they would go in and possess this land and live in it. They would labor on it, and they would harvest the produce of the land, and then they would have a lot of enjoyment from that produce. So God had prepared everything for their enjoyment. But here God asked them to take care of his enjoyment, to take care of his satisfaction, to offer a portion of these produce of the good land for God's food. And these, as we read Numbers 28, we see these were the offerings that were burned by fire on the altar. Actually, this burning, this fire, was God's eating. It seems unusual to say this, but it's true. God was eating there by reducing the offerings to ashes and by causing a sweet, fragrant aroma to ascend to him. That was his pleasure and his enjoyment. And this food, though, had to be offered by his people. God did not prepare his own food. He asked his people to do this. And in the failure of the children of Israel, one of the major failures that they had was they didn't care for God's interest. They were too self-centered, too much centered on their own interests, their own satisfaction and enjoyment. But here, as God's people, we really need to take care of this matter of satisfying our God by offering to him the very food that is his delight, his enjoyment, and his pleasure.
Bob, this is a point that is worth repeating. We have mentioned it before, but it's one that touches me almost every time we come to it, and that is this very matter that in our Christian life, we spend so much time focused on what God can do for us, what we want God to do, what we think we need God to do, and on and on and on. And yet the Lord here, in such a tender way, comes to his people after providing everything and says, "Now, please remember my need."
That's right, Chris. Very tender here. God is almost pleading with them,
yes,
to remember him.
Well, we have some help on as to how this works out in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 10, there are a few verses here. Let me read these, and I think it will help to make clear what God's food really is here. Therefore, and I'm in chapter 10 of Hebrews, beginning verse 5, "Therefore, coming into the world," he says, "sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you did not delight. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written concerning me, to do your will, O God. Saying above, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you did not desire nor delight in, which are offered according to the law. He then has said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Clearly says, Bob, Christ himself is the reality of all the offerings, doesn't it?
This is right, Chris. This is very clear from these verses.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
All the offerings in Old Testament time is represented here by the first. He takes away the first, that means Christ takes away all the Old Testament offerings, that he may establish the second. What is the second? Yeah, the second is just the New Testament offerings, which all are just Christ himself. In the Old Testament, God did have a desire and a pleasure in all the offerings. In Numbers 28, God came in to give Israel a charge to take care of his food. But in Hebrew, it says that God doesn't have any desire and pleasure in those material, physical offerings. And God's desire and God's pleasure is all together in one person. That is Christ. So when Christ comes, Christ does God's will. And what is God's will here? Here in Hebrews chapter 10, God's will is to take away all the Old Testament offerings and establish Christ in the New Testament as all the offerings.
Well, Bob, as it's been pointed out, the food here that Jehovah is referring to in Numbers 28 are these offerings. But Hebrews tells us that Christ has replaced these offerings, that Christ himself becomes the reality of these offerings. Well, though the food has changed here, one thing hasn't changed, and that's God's need or desire that his people continue to feed him.
That's right, Chris. Actually, we can apply this to ourselves. Now that Christ has come and replaced all the Old Testament offerings, and he's come to be the reality, now we have to ask ourselves, how can we feed God? How can we fulfill our part of this Old Testament picture, since Christ has fulfilled his part? Well, the picture in the Old Testament again helps us. We can offer to God only the Christ whom we have experienced, whom we have enjoyed, and whom we have gained. Just as the people of the Old Testament They labored on the good land. They reaped the harvest. They enjoyed some of the produce, but they offered the top portion of that produce to God for His satisfaction. It should be the same with us. As we exercise our spirit and our whole being in our Christian daily life to experience Christ, to enjoy Christ, to live Christ, to gain Him so that we have more of Christ in our being, then we have something of Christ that we can offer to God. Actually, there's only one thing that satisfies God. That is Christ Himself. It's not that we offer ourselves to God, but that we offer Christ to God as His food for His satisfaction. We all need to learn how to offer Christ to God, how to offer Him as the reality of all the offerings, so that God can enjoy and we can enjoy with God. This is a great thing. This is actually a tremendous matter that I would say we lack very much in our Christian life, taking care of God and His need to be fed.
Bob, let's go back to Numbers 28 now, the picture, and we'll find out in this passage, this coming portion, a few things about God's appetite and how and when He likes to eat. And we would look here at verses 10 and 11, and it will tell us a couple of key items here. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. And at the beginnings of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to Jehovah. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, shall be Jehovah's Passover. And then it goes on to mention the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was also an annual feast. So we have continual offerings, weekly offerings, monthly offerings, and annual offerings. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
To the end of chapter 27, the picture in front of us is this: a new people, renumbered, and a new army, reformed, strengthened, everything new, and with a new leader. And this new leader is not just by himself, but with a top divine helper. That was Eleazar. What a picture. What a picture. New people, new armor, new leadership, new theocracy. Everything new. It's wonderful. Now God comes in. Are you happy? Yes. Are you satisfied? Yes. Have you got everything? Yes. Then how about me? You have to take care of my food. I've been taking care of you for years, even for generation after generation. Now you are ready to enter, to possess the good land I promised to your forefathers. But how about me? Would you forget me? Don't you think I am hungry? Don't you think I need my food? God is hungry. God is hungry. God wants to eat. He could do everything, but He could not do something for His food. His food must come from His people. This is why here you could see and hear this word, say to them, my food for my offerings by fire, my satisfying fragrance, you shall observe to offer to me at its appointed time. I do have a schedule. God needs to eat every day and every week and every month and every year with quite a few festivals. Every day is the daily food. Every week, something particular. This is much bigger than the daily food. Then every month, something bigger and bigger. Then every year, you must, what? Give me a few feasts. This is God's food. God likes to enjoy this way. Every day to enjoy. Every week to enjoy, every month to enjoy, and every year to enjoy. And the yearly food must be not the daily ordinary food. It must be what? A kind of feast. So you can see the sequence. One lion in all these offerings are for the ordinary life. Daily, weekly, monthly. But another lion is for the feast. And the fates are according to our spiritual experiences. Our spiritual experiences start from Passover and consummates in Pentecost. So you could see the marvelous sequence full of significances.
Well, Bob, this has been repeated again and again today, and the people will think all we know how to talk about is what God needs, but that's okay. We plead guilty to that charge, I think, today. Let's talk about this last point, that the spiritual significance of these feasts correlates to our experience of Christ. Help develop this for us.
Yes, Chris. Well, here God not only told the people or pleaded with the people to remember to feed him, but he told them when he wanted to be fed. He said, "You have to feed me at my appointed times." And then the whole chapter 28, he talks about when he needs to have these offerings offered to him. Every day in the morning, in the evening, every week on the Sabbath, every first day of every month, then on the annual feasts, every one of the seven annual feasts that he had ordained for his people. This is the schedule for God to eat. And as we saw, I think, in Leviticus, these annual feasts correspond to our experience of Christ. The first feast is the Feast of the Passover, which is a big picture of Christ's redemption. When we begin to enjoy Christ, we begin with his redemption. Then we go on to enjoy him as the unleavened bread, day by day, as our sinless life supply. And then we go on feast by feast to experience Christ until we reach the consummation at the Feast of Pentecost, which is the enjoyment of Christ as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit who was poured out on his people on that day in the book of Acts to be their enjoyment, their supply, their everything. So here we have a sequence of feasts. And if you read Numbers 28, the portion that was prepared for God to eat became larger. The daily portion was so much. Then the weekly portion was a little bit more. Then the monthly portion was more. And then the seven annual feasts, the portion for God was even bigger. So you can see here that God likes to eat, and he likes to eat at appointed times, and he wants to eat with his people. Our God is a God of enjoyment. He wants to enjoy Christ with us. It's not only we who enjoy Christ, but he enjoys Christ with us. So this is why we have to keep in mind his need and also these appointed times, that at the right time set by him, we should offer Christ to him for our mutual enjoyment and satisfaction with him.
The Christian life is a feasting life, isn't it, Bob? Of course, we know in the Old Testament the Lord set a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. And in the Song of Songs, the church is referred to as a banqueting house. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, how much time did the Lord spend with his disciples eating, and how much did he reveal during those times? So this is the pattern, isn't it?
It is, Chris. Our God is a feasting God, and we should be a feasting people, feasting with him and feeding him with Christ.
Why don't we give up all of our struggling and striving and replace it with feasting and enjoyment?
I recommend it highly.
Bob, thank you. What a wonderful and enjoyable life study we've had to handle today, Bob. I have enjoyed this tremendously.
And so have I, Chris.
Well, we are out of time. We invite you to contact us for the printed message. This one is a gem, I think, as you have identified yourselves, if you've really followed the portions today. There's a lot here that is worthy of your time and your own investigation. So contact us about these Life Study printed messages. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. You can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121. In Anaheim, California, 92814, or send an email to us. Just send it to radio@lsm.org. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.